Bill, before we officially start, and I guess this is the official start of the show technically, I want to make an announcement.
All right.
The helmet that you see behind me, this will be the last show that you ever have to see that helmet on this set.
Oh, like ever?
I officially divorce.
Yeah, good.
I divorce the Dallas Cowboys.
Your allegiance should be your bankroll anyway. You should never have one team. I know everyone likes a certain team.
But, yeah. But I am interviewing new teams.
You know, I hate to start out with, because I'm not the kind of person that usually brags, but yeah, no.
You said it.
I said, well, I said a couple of different
things. You said the Kansas Eagles City, were frauds.
Eagles were frauds. All year long, I've been saying it since they were 5-0.
Yeah,
and since the first New England game of the year, to the Washington games, to the Buffalo game, to the Kansas City game, so many games, I've been saying the Eagles were frauds. And
by the way, I thought you were crazy when they were 5-0 and you were saying that. God. And I was like,
they were 10-1. I
was like, they went to the Super Bowl. Yeah. You're telling me they're frauds.
Should have won the Super Bowl.
They're 5-0 now, and you're telling me they're frauds, and they were.
And you know, they were a different team this year. They were a different team. They lost both coordinators. They lost some people. And, you know, Hurts was banged up a little bit. He had some hand problems. And you could see the internal problems now that, you know, Goddard was fighting with him on the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, yelling at him on the sidelines. Yeah, this team, I wish I had a couple more games to bet against them this year, because they were one in six in the last seven games. And I said, you know, like I said, they were 1-5, and the other team was 5-1. The other team was playing better. They're home. There shouldn't have been a point spread here. Good game for me. But Kansas City was a good game for me. The Kansas City money line, I bet that minus 160, minus 170.
Yeah.
And it was just no contest. It was just two different teams, two different type of teams. You understand these Miami was going. Listen, it's cold weather even for Kansas City players. I understand.
Right.
Humans are humans, but it doesn't matter. The Kansas City was more used to that type of weather situations and playoff, you know, Mahomes. And it was a really good couple of games for me. Usually I don't do too much on sides. I like a side this week, too, though. I like Kansas City plus 3 points. I bet them multiple times at the South Point plus three.
Kansas City is plus three?
Plus three over Buffalo. I think Kansas City's the better team.
Yeah.
Granted, Buffalo at home. It's going to be, you know, I'm sure cold again, but Kansas City's used to that. That's not an obstacle.
I think
3 points is a deciding factor for me.
I know whatever happened in previous years is irrelevant in the current year, but if you have a chance to bet on a guy that has multiple rings and you're getting points, I just think it's a good idea.
No, this is a good point. I didn't know where you were going there.
Yeah.
And I was about to say, John, previous years don't matter.
Right.
That, though, the experience, the playoff form not crumbling, that's why I was so impressed with Houston last week. That kid's...
He's fun
he's
to
something,
watch.
Man. He's something. I hope they give Baltimore a game this week.
Yeah.
But let me finish off with Kansas City, and I'll get
go ahead.
Kansas City plus three. I think that Buffalo's not the team it used to be. Buffalo struggled a little bit. They should have put Pittsburgh away.
Yeah.
Watt wasn't playing. There were so many reasons. They struggled with them. They let them hang around. That game was decided point spread-wise only in the last minute. I mean, they were on the, you know, on the 30-yard line, whatever, 25-yard line. They should have put them away, I felt. So I just think that Kansas City here is playing a different Buffalo team. Kansas City's not as good as they used to be either. So, you know, there's situations that actually, if you look at the team, the breakdown of the team compared to what they were when they had the dynasty, when they were winning Super Bowls. I'm not even going to say last year, but they're a different team. But I just think that Mahomes is the big difference for me is Mahomes.
Yep.
So I like Kansas City with the 3 points. I like the money line.
That's 2 weeks in a row you've given out a side, Bill.
I know. What's going on?
I like it.
Games, I can't. Houston, Baltimore, I'm going to be watching it as a fan and rooting for Houston.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to be rooting for Houston. And you know, listen, Baltimore is clearly one of the two choices to Super Bowl favorite. I actually caught them yesterday plus 310 down at the South Point. Oh, no, down at Westgate.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 310 to win the Super Bowl. I thought it was a good bet. But yet, like plus 290 or 280, I seen out there. It's not a good. I don't think it's a good bet. You have to get. You have to do multiple line searches. So
yeah,
it's very important to shop around.
Do you believe momentum is a thing at this part of the season?
Momentum from
The mindset of players, a big win like Kansas City. I would say now they have momentum. It's like yeah. Okay, everything you did this season, good, bad, ugly, is erased. And you have a fresh start, and you just won the first round, and you're Pat Mahomes, yeah. and you're the Chiefs. And then same thing with this kid with Stroud, with yeah. Houston. Like,
yeah. You know, he's not that. Typically, rookie players, rookie quarterbacks don't do well in the playoffs for the first time.
Yeah.
He is way above that. He's special. He is special.
If the Cowboys had him, I wouldn't be divorcing.
Oh, man. Yeah. Let's go on to the typically
really quick, Bill, just yeah. to back you up here.
Go ahead.
We were talking about it earlier. The weather in Buffalo is going to be amazing. 25 degrees, 11 mile per hour wind gusts. So
wow,
it's low. I'm liking the over, and that was it. I just wanted to reaffirm you that it's not going to be a blizzard in Buffalo.
Do you like the
football
over
weather?
It's football weather.
Okay.
You like the over
that's
for Buffalo?
It's 45 and a half. I'm an under guy anyway, even though the whole season's went over. Just want to before just to tell you, I don't just talk shit. I the money is where the mouth is when it comes to certain teams.
Wow.
Yeah. Plus 310, and it was plus 295 at Circa. Plus 290.
When is this? This was
That's yesterday. Yesterday to that's to win the Super Bowl.
That's really good value, no?
Well, I mean, you can't get plus 310 anywhere. So there's a very large bet there. I'm not going to brag about it. I'm just saying.
And this, can I say where it is?
Yeah.
At Westgate.
Westgate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, wow.
Yeah, so that's Baltimore. I do. I mean, I want them to win because I made that bet. I think a plus 310 is pretty good value. But let's go to the next game. Oh, well, before I do, typically this round of the playoffs, favorites do well. Mm-hmm. The rested teams, the San Frans, the Baltimores, the favorites do pretty well. That the rested teams, but I still like literally every dog I would bet. If I can get seven with the Tampa Bay over Detroit, I think it's 6.5 now, 6.5 minus juice. If I can get like plus 7 minus 20, that would be the way I would lean in that game. I didn't bet it, and I may not bet it. I'm just saying it. Green Bay, the 10 points that has been out there, there's two books with 10 still. I think 10 points is a lot. I think Love really has shown some great playoff form. I know they're playing against a very good San Fran team, of course. They're the favorites for the Super Bowl. But I just think the 10 points is a lot of points there.
Yeah, in a playoff game.
I didn't bet it. I'm just saying. So there are going to be two games I'm rooting for. I'm sure I'll have a lot of props on them and stuff.
If you were going to bet it, though, you would probably take the
dog.
Points.
A dog on all four games.
Yeah.
And like I said, typically that the favorites do well this round that are teams that are rested, like those two teams. Sunday night is, well, Sunday 3:30 is the Buffalo game here. And then I'll be over to see your dad that night, right? You're going to be there all three nights?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Excuse me, guys.
Yeah.
Still have a call.
Do you need tickets? Do we figure it out?
I got them. I bought them.
You bought them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got them like early.
Nice.
They're sold out, though.
Sold out.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, God. Oversold out. Can't get a ticket.
Kind of exciting. It's good for him.
Tell everyone what we did this weekend.
I wasn't sure when you wanted to bring it up. So we went and saw Frankie Valli over at Westgate. This guy is going to be 90 in May.
Yes.
He sounds amazing.
Yes.
He's so tiny when we went backstage.
He is so tiny.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. He's just adorable. He's an adorable guy, right?
He
he's
is.
Like he's a
he
he's
is.
He's not the, he's not
and
tall.
He was so he loves your dad.
Oh man.
He asked you to tell your dad not to retire.
Yeah, he's like as he's walking out, he's like, "You're going to work on him, right? You're going to work on him."
Right when we met him in the beginning, I was recording.
He said it then too.
He said it in the beginning. Said it in the end. How about your dad introducing me as one of his best friends? It made me feel so good.
It's factual.
Oh, it was so nice.
Yeah.
It was so nice of your dad to introduce me like that. I was like intimidated. You understand, these guys are guys my mother and father, my mother especially, grew up with.
Every time I looked over at you, you were singing along. You knew every song.
I know every song.
Yeah.
I do. I usually don't say that. I can't.
Yeah.
I know every single
My dad, did he send it to
song.
You? My dad actually took a video
took
of
a
you
video,
singing along.
He sent
it was great.
Me.
He sent it to you?
He says, look at you. He sent me the video. He was videotaping me.
He
I didn't
loved
even know.
It. Yeah, he loved it.
Oh, it was so good. It was so... backstage was so cool.
But wait, before we even got backstage, is it fair to say on the way into the show and immediately after the show, my dad got mobbed?
Listen to me.
I was shocked.
One of my notes, so Frankie Valli announces that, you know, I've been friends with this guy for 62 years. We've been together since the beginning. The great Tony Orlando, place went crazy. But he had a stand. He had a standing ovation from people around him.
And even during the show, after that, they were tapping him on the shoulder. The people behind him.
Security guards had to come rescue your dad.
Yeah.
They had to come rescue him after the show from the pocketbook mob.
We were overwhelmed.
The pocketbook mob. They were all over him. Girls, like, reaching in, unbuttoning their bras, throwing their bras at him. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the security guards had to actually come in and rescue your dad.
Yeah.
And had to get him away. And,
but we'd
and
still be there. Because he'll sign and take pictures.
And he'll take pictures with anyone.
Yeah.
He didn't even care about the security guards. He wanted to take a picture with every single person. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
Every single person there, oh God, he's the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah.
He is the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah.
His show this weekend, he'll do the same thing. He'll ask the vets to stand up for each war and stand, give these people standing ovations. He salutes the flag. He wants to, you know.
So then we get backstage.
And, you know, we're meeting some of the band members your dad knew.
Yep.
And,
His musical director.
He's known for years. There were a lot of people. The guy from the band Chicago.
Yeah.
He started the band.
Danny, Chicago, the original drummer.
The original drummer from Chicago. The guy from the Eagles, which I should know, but I forget his name. I'm a big Eagles fan too.
Yeah.
This guy was one of the original members of the Eagles band. But anyway, going back there and Frankie taking the time out in the hallway. He didn't even go in to the green room. In the hallway, talking to me, you and your dad, taking pictures.
Yep.
Then your dad, knowing it was a dark hallway, you know, 30 minutes later when we were in the room with him with all the people back there, your dad comes over to me and goes, Bill, come here. He goes, take another picture with Frankie. I'm sure that one didn't come out good. So
yeah,
I take another picture with Frankie, and I don't know if you know what I did.
No.
You don't know.
What'd you do?
I said, I'm going to save it for this show. I gave him a line I figure everyone says to him, but he told me, no one really says that to me.
From Sopranos or something?
Nope, from Goodfellas.
From Goodfellas?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
What do you think, you're Frankie Valli or some kind of big shot? Karen says it. Remember Karen said it to Henry?
Right.
What do you think, you're Frankie Valli or some kind of big shot?
Karen.
He goes, he smiled. He goes, no one really says that to me. He goes,
I love it.
I could have said something else, but I didn't. But I don't want to insult him and think, even though I'm just having fun, I don't know him good enough yet. But
right,
I would say it to him once I knew him.
Yeah.
I would. The line from The Sopranos, I think it's Paulie Walnuts or something, says, we got to go see the mayor of Munchkinland. And they're going to go kill him.
Right.
I think Tony's the one who killed him. They, like, went to the house and killed. He was killed off in The Sopranos. But he was such a nice guy.
So nice.
And I'm from this little town in Monmouth County, New Jersey. It's a little tiny boardwalk town, Kingsburg, New Jersey. So he says, oh, you're from Jersey. Where are you from? I said, Kingsburg. He says, I was there with my parents in the 40s and 50s. You imagine that? My guys from Kingsburg, I'm going to have to put this up on Facebook because I don't do Facebook a lot, but this I would. If they only knew, Frankie Valli was there hanging out like in the Miami club. I didn't even know this kind of stuff. I know Jackie Gleason was there once, but I actually seen a clip of Jackie Gleason talking about this little blue-collar, Irish, Catholic, boardwalk town.
Yeah.
It was just really cool just being with Frankie and him asking about me. And you know, listen, that was a night I'll never forget. I think about my mom constantly because she loved Frankie Valli. She loved Tony Orlando. She would love that I'm so close to Tony, your dad.
And then right before we left, there's another piece of history.
Oh, God.
Go ahead.
I didn't post none of that yet.
Oh, okay. Do you not want to talk about it?
No, I'll talk about it. Sure. So we're leaving, and Tony's walking out, and he knows I'm an Elvis fan. He knows. He says, Bill, come on. Come over here.
And let me also say,
sure,
Westgate used to be the Las Vegas Hilton.
It was the Hilton.
Before that
it was the
International. Intercontinental, right?
I think it was International. International Hotel.
And that was Elvis's house.
Elvis is signed.
Right.
He signed his contract out there. And, so we're walking out. Now, we already left Frankie. Let's say goodbye to him. Said our goodbyes, and your dad wants to show me the old showroom. The old dressing rooms. Yep. She goes, let me show you. The
Elvis's old dressing room.
Elvis's dressing room. Because where Frankie is now is a newer dressing room they built 25 years ago.
Right.
Where the old dressing rooms where your dad was with
Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis, yep. and your grandparents. Did I hear this right?
Yep, yep.
Your grandparents were back there with him, Tony's parents. So he showed me those rooms and just goes, sit over there by that. Because it's the same exact counter, the same exact place where Elvis used to be hanging out. There's a water fountain. How about this? I went home later on. There's a water fountain outside in the hallway. There's pictures on YouTube of Elvis in front of that water fountain that still exists.
No way.
Yes. It's called the Spa Guy. He's a guy on I follow on YouTube, and he's got backstage videos of Elvis's. You're walking on hallowed grounds there. And then your dad, so I got to see. I got to see both dressing rooms where Elvis and the boys were, the same hallway where the guys used to be. This is not the main hallway that Frankie's taking and everyone. Yep. This is the old one. Your dad knew exactly where to go. Yeah. Remember, your dad was there 11 years straight. I think he said from, I don't know what years, but 85 or something. He was there like 11
even
years.
Before that, yeah.
Yeah, like 74, I mean, whatever it was. Anyway.
Late 70s till mid-80s.
So now he shows me, come on, I want to show you something else. This is where Elvis used to stand.
Stage left.
Stage left. He stood right there against that wall with that old floor there.
Yep.
And always put his hands on the wall and did a little prayer. And the walls there, there's actually people
know this.
They
made a little shrine right there.
They made a little shrine right there to him. So to walk on those steps and stuff, to walk in those steps of Elvis, the great Elvis Presley. And it must bring back so many memories for your dad. Your dad was standing so many times during the show, giving his own standing ovation. And people were standing after he did. Because your dad's right. This was number one. This was number one. This was number one. Just think about the songs this guy had. You know, it was just a night that I'll never forget, and I got to thank you guys for that.
So yeah, man, that was fun. It was a lot of fun.
The Pocketbook Mob.
The Pocketbook Mob. Yeah. I love that.
They got him.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. What else is going on?
What else?
I have stuff.
What do you have?
Yeah, I always have stuff. You know why get to such a negative thing though? Sometimes I'm a little too cynical.
Oh, but I like it. Go, tell me.
I went off it already.
No.
At the end of the show. I'm a little too.
Wait,
dark.
You want to end with cynical?
I hate being.
Do
dark.
Cynical now. We'll end happy.
Oh, okay. All right, let's go back to it. Here it is.
I'm so excited for cynical.
Yeah, this is it. But
I like when you're fired up.
This is the truth.
Yeah.
This ain't not. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
But I have a couple. Now I have a second friend that mentioned it to me. And they don't even know each other, these two guys. They're on both sides. They're on both coasts. One's in Florida, one's in Jersey.
Right.
He said, Bill, my son, him and his friends, you know, they're away at college. He said, I got him in an in-state great school. I don't want to mention it. It's one of the giant schools in Florida. He said, there's gambling problems everywhere. He said, these kids all think they know how to beat sports now.
Yeah.
Sports betting came to Florida recently. So now you can bet at the Hard Rocks in Tampa and Hollywood. And these kids just think they can they travel 90 minutes, or they have an app, I guess, now. But they were traveling 90 minutes back and forth before the app was opened. They were making bets, and they think they're, you know, everyone thinks they're beating sport. And now it's become problematic. And I said to him, I said, listen, his name is Rick. I said, Rick, listen to me. Every college in America has a gambling problem. That's right. That's a message to all you deans, your counselors, your professors, your students. Every college in America has a gambling problem. And guess what? Some of it's underage gambling. I know we don't want to hear that. Oh, my God. We're talking about underage gambling. That's right. It's underage gambling. And listen, I'll be the first to tell you. I'm gambling since I'm 8, 9 years old on parlay cards and going to the track and giving my father money, $2 exactas. I was a total sucker and stuff. And I got myself in trouble when I was younger a couple times. But, you know, it took someone shaking me and showing me the light and to beat sports. And of course, you know, getting thrown out of these places now because they only want suckers, most of them. And they only want losers. But these kids, there should be more. Listen, there is responsible gambling in New Jersey. They have it. And I do hear commercials on different networks. But the responsible gambling should be maxed up everywhere. You shouldn't have to go to the stadiums and have to see gambling in your face and little kids, 10-year-old, 12-year-old kids their brains are like sponges. They absorb everything, and including having to see all the different ads and how easy and how fun it is. Everyone yelling and screaming on the TV and how fun this could be. Oh, it's so easy. This is what it leads to. Gambling problems nationwide. And we're going to find this out sooner or later. It's not just degens. It's lawyers, doctors, Wall Street people, business types, owners, and now, of course, college kids and teen gambling. It's out of control.
I was surprised how many women.
Women. Definitely.
Women. Not, and sure. Let me even clarify this. Not just women playing slots is what I always figured. Women playing blackjack.
Yeah. Well,
and betting sports.
Really, because the problem I know with the housewives and stuff, they're home betting on these apps, all these sites.
For sure, they
and
do that. Own,
it's like closet gambling.
Yeah.
So they're closet gambling when the kids and the husband's asleep. Next thing you know, they're calling the 1-800 lines. And I read that article that ESPN, unbelievably, props to them for putting it out. You know, there was, I think it was 17 or maybe even more, 17% of the phone calls they get are females.
I know a girl. She has her own business. This is about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Her business does $1.2 million in a calendar year,
yeah,
right? And she loses $800,000 playing blackjack.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And she had to get one of my buddies, who I'll tell you off air. Uh-huh. He's a counter. He's a known. He's banned.
Yeah.
Puts a disguise on. He was kind of like dating her, whatever.
Yeah. It
puts
shouldn't even matter. She'll get thrown out in
puts a disguise
of a month.
On to win her money back for her.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting banned after the third week.
What did I say?
Yeah.
In less than a month, she'll be thrown out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get back a little bit of your money.
Yep.
Yeah. That's why I want to rob them for every penny.
Yeah.
That's why I want to beat the casinos for every single penny. You know, I told you, we talked about this before. I won't, at a cage cashier where someone's responsible for the draw, I'll get the money back. But they got no chance. If I'm on the tables and you overpay me, you got no chance getting the
and
money
it happens.
Back. Yeah, you got no chance.
Dealers make mistakes.
Dealers make mistakes.
Especially, make mistakes. I know you don't like the prop bets in any of those games.
Yeah, but they'll make mistakes on
them. Or like free bet. A lot of dealers don't know how to bet.
They don't even know the
bet.
Rules of them. There's so many different sucker bets on tables.
Yeah.
The dealers aren't cross-trained with these things.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Yeah.
No, you have a good point. There used to be a casino. Oh, no, it's still here. Casino Royale. It used to have 100-time odds.
Yep.
It's a little dumpy casino across from, right across from like the Mirage.
Yep.
And you used to go in there and put $5 on the crap on the pass line. And, you know, that means you could put $500 odds behind if you want. You put $182. You think the dealers know how to pay that? But you know.
Right.
You know if you're getting 182 times two.
Right.
You know what you're getting. You know you're getting free 64.
Right.
Better yet, the points 5 and 9, the points 6 and 8. You're getting 6 to 5, 5 and 9, 3 to 2. You know the odds more than them.
Right.
And I used to go there and used to tip them. Hey, it's $20 because they overpaid me $110. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
you scoop it up quick when they do, right?
It doesn't make you – it doesn't make – listen. The casinos are robbing you daily with the things they're doing. 6 to 5 blackjack, 000 roulette. Here, how about this? The lady loses 800,000. She wins back 50,000 in the money, and they don't want her business no more. Give me a break.
Right.
They can rob you. You can't rob them?
Yeah.
F them.
By the way, that's the number they won back.
Oh, I didn't know that. See what I mean?
Yeah, that's the number.
That's why it's
back.
Good to go in like during the rodeo.
And it would have been more, but her role at the, when she brought him in, well, she was just supposed to sit next to her, mm-hmm. just lady luck, just sit next, don't play.
Yeah.
She insisted on playing, and she's a drinker.
Oh.
So she would get drunk. She wasn't paying attention to what to bet, you know, follow his lead kind of thing. And she's betting heavy, more than him. So she's losing while he's winning. And he was like, what are you doing?
Let me tell you, I can't believe I'm talking about this right now. I've never told you this, I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
This is the first time I'm ever going to say this. Eventually, we'll get her on. Eventually. I know a female. I got a call with a big guy in the business. Called me up and said, hey, Bill, I know you do a lot of gambling taxes. You have the right accountants and for gambling win-loss. And he said, I have a female on the phone. He said she's had a little bit of a problem. She won $2.7 million. So she introduced me to her. He introduced me to her. $2.7 million. She goes, hi, Bill, nice to meet you. And he's talked so good about you and stuff. And can you give me maybe your accountant? Because I've won this kind of money. I don't know if I should file a professional gambler. I play blackjack. So automatically, what does Bill Krakenberger think? She's cheating.
Right.
You can't win $2.7 million playing
there's
blackjack.
There's no way.
No way.
Right.
Now, she's a big player.
Yeah.
She bets $25,000 a hand. But there's no way you're winning, you know, that kind of money. 100, you know, whatever, 200, whatever.
She won it in one night?
No.
Or
Oh, no. If she wanted him one night, I wouldn't question it.
Right, because then you'd be like, you caught a couple hot shoes.
She wanted overtime in multiple casinos.
No way.
Now she tells me she got thrown out of one casino. She goes, I got thrown out of a big casino when you're in town. They don't want my business no more because they don't know what I'm doing. I want $1 million there, and they don't want the business. They banned me. John, she's right. She just ran lucky.
Stop.
Basic strategy.
Stop.
I went out with her 4 times. I met her here, met her in Tahoe, met her in different places, met her in Atlantic City.
And she's able to quit when she's up.
Four times I went out with her. But let me just tell you. I'll tell you the last 2 times. First 2 times I wanted to just watch and see.
Yeah.
It was amazing watching someone bet like this. You know, 10,000. Starts with 10,000, goes up to 25. And watching her bet and being around her, I just wanted to see because I'm still thinking there's something going on. There's hole carding.
Right.
There's ace sequencing. She's doing something because you know she's very, very astute too. Very smart lady. Boy, I don't want to say no more. Man, as soon as this is all over.
Is she Asian?
There's something happening.
Could it be the same lady?
As soon as this is all over, we're gonna have her on here.
Okay.
And I say all over, because
there's an investigation.
There's a big problem now.
Really?
Yes. There's a big problem now, and it's not her fault at all. Oh, it's gonna be if we get her on first, it's gonna go viral.
Really?
Listen, I was with her the last 2 times, and I said to her, "Here's what you do. Real simple. If my hands." Are here, it means you start with 5,000, spread 5 to 1, go to your 25. If my hands are here, it means just bet your 5,000. Yeah. When my hands aren't on the table, they're back a little bit, bet 25,000. That's what you should do. Because she wanted to know.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll tell me when to bet high, I'll bet high. My hands are here, where she's supposed to bet 5,000. And, you know, for people at home that don't see what I'm doing. So my hands are here across on the table, and that means just bet your minimum 5,000. Yep. When my hands are off the table or over here against myself, against my stomach or against the rail, that means bet 25,000. She couldn't handle it.
Come on.
Because when she lost these hands at 25, when the dealer got blackjack instead of her, when the dealer got 20
she went back.
Instead of her, she started firing her 25,000 a hand instead of 5,000. The count will go from a true count of plus 12 or something
right.
And go to like plus 8 or something. And I would go back to there and just bet your 5,000 or, you know, and she was betting 25. And I'm like, she's betting 25. And she goes, I couldn't help myself. I know what I was supposed to do, but I couldn't help myself. She wouldn't listen.
Because it was personal. I'm losing. I want it back now.
Listen, I know a guy also that was a giant player, had the biggest rooms in the world here. And, you know, I went out with him all the time, and I wouldn't even show him them. I was done. I showed him in the beginning, and you have when you're card counting, you have to stay versus. If I'm betting more than a minimum, you're staying on 16 versus 10. There's situations where you stay on 15 versus 10. They're rare. But also that means you have to stay 12 versus 2. There's a lot of hands you have to stay on if you just learn those hands. And guess what? If the count is terrible and you have to stay at the table because you don't want it to be obvious, you have to hit 12 versus 4. You have to hit 12 versus 5. You have to hit. That means the deck is rich in low cards. People can't do that.
Right.
So now what do? They blame you.
Right.
Oh, this guy's. I would have won. I should have won. I would have won. I get it. Listen, me, I want to learn anything from anybody. If you have an edge on the casino, get a hold of me. I'll put the money up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'll be happy to listen to everything you say. And if I lose and I still feel you have an edge after that loss, doesn't make no difference to me. I'll do it every single time. Whatever it may be. So, but most people, especially if they're successful in life and they have their own businesses, they're making decisions, they have, you know, 20, 30, 50, 200 employees, they really don't listen to a lot of people about a lot of things. They're there to have fun playing blackjack. But if we get her on.
Yeah, it sounds exciting.
It would be so exciting. And I have one more last thing to show you, and then you can go back.
Wait, blackjack thing. Yep. I've been meaning to ask Dana this.
All right.
And I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Go ahead.
You know, his limit at Red Rock is 30,000 per hand.
30,000, two hands.
He can play two hands at a time at 30K, or he can play three hands at 10.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Three hands at 10, or maybe three hands at 15.
Yep.
It might be three at 15. When it's cold, when it's clear that the dealer's on a run, he's still firing away his max bet of 30K.
Yeah.
I almost want to ask him, why not drop the bet to 10 or 15 when it seems like she's hot. Is that because he's just like, you never know what's going to turn, so he wants to capitalize on the
run?
See,
I wouldn't tell Dana anything ever. Because
well, more of a question, really. Like
I wouldn't even question him.
Just, no.
You're there. You're one of the entourage. Just have fun with it. What happens, happens. I would never tell him that, you know, this is a real good hand. Maybe you should spread two hands. Or, you know, maybe you should double on that nine where you normally wouldn't double on nine. Or, you know what I mean?
No, I would never say anything like that. Yeah. But I was just curious, like, when it seems like it's the dealer's just fucking kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Why not just, you don't have to fire your max bet. No?
I understand.
Or at his level, it just really
doesn't
matter.
At his level, it doesn't matter.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
He's okay.
You don't want to ruin anything.
Right.
In other words, like Elvis Presley. I don't know how I can relate this to Elvis, but I do. Yeah. Elvis Presley's guys were all around him.
Right.
The Memphis Mafia.
Right.
TCM. Taking care of TCB.
TCB, taking care of business.
Yeah. They didn't want to say nothing to Elvis about anything.
Right.
And when Red West finally did say something and wrote the book, and then, like, why Elvis, you know, these prescription pills and stuff, you know, you look what happened. They're banished. They're gone. They're thrown out.
Right.
And they'll never be around the king again. And so I'm not saying, I'm not relating
Elvis
to Dana, but I'm just saying, you just don't want to ruin, let them do what they want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here is the big one. Here's the last big one.
What do you got?
Do you know that name?
Are you going to make me put glasses on?
Oh.
Put it so it gets bright again. Just click it. No. Who is that?
Terry Watanabe.
I don't know who that is. Should I?
He lost $206 million. He lost $206 million in 1 year in Las Vegas.
Stop.
He lost $110 the next year.
Is he still alive?
As a matter of fact, on his thing there, it said loser of over $300 million legit on his Twitter. That's what he says.
Stop. And what's the former CEO of what?
Yeah. I want to tell you.
Oh, okay.
I had the money. His father had Oriental Trading Company. His father was very, very wealthy. Terry lost more than that, probably. I found a great video on YouTube. I put it up on Twitter of Terry Watanabe. Next thing I know, I'm conversing with him back and forth.
You didn't know him until then?
Didn't know. No.
When was this?
2 weeks ago. Now, I knew that Terry Watanabe was one of the biggest losers ever in Vegas. And I knew some of his story. And you don't remember why. I'll tell you why. There was a man sitting right here. It was Al De Leon.
Yeah.
When Al was sitting here with us, Al said he used to be one of his hosts at Caesar's Palace. And Terry, how generous of a guy he was. Good guy. Gave away money, tipped everybody, took care of people outside the casino, bought food for everyone, but paid for people's problems, whatever it may be. This guy was so generous, such a good guy. Yet when he ran out of money, the last $12 million, I believe it was, 12 or 14 million, give or take a million, 12 or 14 million, I think it was 12 million. The casino sued him for, even though he paid them $200 million. He paid this casino $200 million. They went after him in court for this $12 million. So he's telling me some stories here back and forth, how they still have, he still has problems with it. And
Does he still have money?
No. No. He lives with his sister, I think. He doesn't.
Wait. Yeah. He's lost over $300 million and there's no more money.
I don't think there is, but better yet.
Oh, that hurts me.
Better yet. So he's a little bit afraid. He's a little intimidated to come on. He's like, I want to go on a podcast so bad.
Oh, my God. Come on.
I want to go on a podcast and tell my story. But I think he stole that money to the casino. He's afraid that they'll come after him again. But
what can they do?
That's what I said to him.
What are they going
to
do?
I said, listen.
It's not the 60s. They're not going to beat
you. Let's go on there. Here's what we're going to do, Terry. Let's embarrass
the
casino.
Let's dare them.
Let's embarrass. God,
write it off.
Yeah. Let's embarrass the casino. Do you know how much business they would lose? Seriously. Because it would go viral. I put viral clips out there. It would go viral. I would make sure it goes viral.
And when was this?
2 weeks ago.
No. When did he lose all that money?
15 years ago? 20
years ago? Did they even have giving back a percentage?
You
know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Did they do that back then?
Oh, they did. Now, listen, he got big rebates.
Okay.
But he lost them all back.
But right. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, you got your money.
Terry Watanabe. A couple people out there know that name. Help me. What else can I tell the guy that he won't get in no trouble? Like, I'm saying, DM me or put it on Twitter. Like, I'd like to know. I don't want the guy to get in no trouble. I don't want them to bring up again the money he still owes.
Is it one hotel he owes?
Yep. One that he paid $200 million to.
That is criminal.
It would get me jammed up, too, because I am very good with the hotel.
Oh.
But you want to know something?
I love that you don't.
I don't give a fuck. Jam me up. Big deal. Throw me out. Big deal.
Right.
I've been thrown out of better places. Anyway, so
that's press the hotel would get from it.
I think the bad press if they went after him.
I agree.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, but I'm saying both. Like the good press would be
let go of the money.
How about not just let it go, do it formally and publicly.
People home.
We're not going to kick you when you're down.
No, people home would, if you just look on my Twitter, the $206 million he lost, the story's on there. It was a couple weeks ago.
That's over a year?
I just put it up about
right, but
3 weeks ago.
He lost $200 million over the course of one calendar year.
$206 million in 1 year.
All blackjack?
Check around January 5th. That's when I got the story.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Yeah, I don't know. It probably didn't get a lot of views, right?
It's a 10-minute video.
10-minute video.
Is it all blackjack?
I think baccarat. And blackjack, both. But, yeah. And
this did get a lot of views. It got 4.1 million.
The video itself got a lot of views on the YouTube, but my thing probably didn't get, nothing.
33,000
views.
That's good.
Where I posted something in the last 2 days, I got 250,000 and 200,000 views on two different things. This is such an interesting story. If I could have, I should have showed the clip more or something.
Yeah. People maybe repost it again.
Read that to me. What does it say there?
Read what? Like the
what's the catchwords? Does it say 206 million?
This is the amazing true story of Terry Watanabe. He has lost $300 million gambling in casinos. I mean, I don't know.
I think if George clips up you just framed it up.
Oh God!
I think we have two.
Then it's gonna do well.
Yeah, we're literally like sending
the clip master. Sits right there.
We're sending videos to Terry Watanabe and then that lady that you want to have on too. So
yeah. But the only problem is that she, right now she's got some legal troubles, believe it or not.
With the casino?
Oh, yeah. And listen, she was just lucky. I was with her. She was just lucky. And of course, what do you think happened?
Credit line troubles. Now.
All credit lines.
Yeah.
She lost all the money back.
Yeah.
Plus the credit lines that they gave her.
And she couldn't pay the credit lines back.
Let me just tell you, I'll end the show with this. This is going to be hard to believe. You guys are all going to want her on here with us. And she told me she's going to come on eventually. She makes $160,000 a year, yet she had $1 million credit lines. What balls the casino has given this lady $1 million credit lines with $160,000 a year income. What balls. So you want to go after this lady and go after her income, her family, and everything. Listen, we make our own decisions. I'm not saying she's not a little bit of fault here. But you enabled her so much with the perks of the business. And
you seduced her at the casino
game. How do you give
game?
Someone $1 million credit line?
That's crazy.
She owes $1 million to two casinos right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah. $160,000 she makes.
That's criminal. That should be criminal.
They want to take her house. They want to take her $340,000 house that's paid. I'm the one who told her to pay her house off. She had a mortgage on her house. I said, well, first pay your house off.
And
do you have family?
And give it to someone.
Do you have family?
Yeah.
Your mom and dad? Pay your parents' cars off. They have car payments? Pay their cars off. She did everything. She listened to me on everything. She paid their cars off. She paid the house off. She listened to everything. The only thing I was going to make some money with her was when I was at the table, and I never made no money. I was like, well, we're going to make money together. We're going to make some money together.
She wouldn't embrace the hand position.
The hands. But I don't want no money. I don't care. She's a great person. She's a good person. She's a good intellect. Unbelievable. 7-year college genius. She is. But, you could be that and just not have street smarts and common sense. And
Bill, no one on this planet has better gambling stories than you do. Period.
Honestly?
Period.
I just forgot about that.
It's crazy.
I forgot about her.
This guy's got nuggets of gold that he just forgets to tell us.
I forgot about her, and then Terry Watanabe. That was 2 weeks.
Right.
Today's the fifth. That was the fifth. Today's. I could have said on the last two shows I did. All right, let's close off with that.
And,
all right, guys, we'll see you guys next week.
Next week.